as there are at certain time, we'll probably stop taking any more requests to speak so that we're out of here on time as well.
I want to thank the Elks Lodge for opening their doors for us this meeting. They prepared the room. They set up the chairs. They will take the chairs away at no charge to us. So if you belong to Elks Lodge, I want to thank you. If you know somebody that belongs to Elks Lodge, please thank them on our behalf.
If you need to go to the restroom through this door, there are restrooms, but if you don't want to tell anyone that you're going to the restrooms, if you exit to the left and to your immediate left, there are restrooms available as well. I'll give you another moment or two if you want to walk back and take some requests to speak forms. Otherwise, we'll come and pick them up in a few minutes. Meanwhile, we have a lot of seats available up front. Somewhere during this presentation, I'll be walking halfway down there and make some points on those maps that are displayed on the wall. So if you're sitting way back, you might not be able to see as what I'm talking about. Please allow me to introduce my assistant, Vicky Jensen, seated in the way back. Vicky, would you raise your hand, please?
Vicky, with your assistance, we need to collect the request to speak forms. So whenever you have your name written down, you're ready to give it to her, raise your hand, and she'll come around and pick them up.
Also with us tonight, representing the state parks, is Andy Zilke. Andy?
And I have invited representatives from our assemblyman's office and our senator's office. If they'll show up, I will introduce them to you as well. What I'm going to do is start the presentation and then turn it over to Andy for him to make some remarks, and we'll open it up to the public to hear what you have to say.
What I would like to start with is give a little bit of history of where we were and where we are and what needs to be done. And by no means I'm here tonight to make a decision, so it's not a popularity contest. We want to gather as many facts as possible. And I want to be able at one time to make a decision based on putting. Let me start by giving a little background as what has happened in the past. And if you want to see them, I'll pull you back. It's going to be a little while. It goes as back as November 1936, when a SLO county, the San Luis Obispo County, executed a deed to the state of California providing that the state hold set premises for park and highway access. What does that mean? Much of this property that was owned by this county of San Luis Obispo was requested by State of California for the use to have access to their park. And the County of San Luis Obispo granted that deed to them in November of 1936. And at that time, District Attorney Mr. Van Wormer acted as the notary public, certified that deed. And some of you might remember who were the supervisors. I doubt it, anyone in this room. Bill Dineen being the most elderly, I doubt it if he remembers it. And they were Mr. Earhart, Norton, Farini, Twisselman, and Arnold. I'm going to try to see if I can point it from here. If you look at the map on the far furthest one down, you see the areas that's red, those are owned by the state. The area that's owned by the county is the green area. But that entire green is not owned by the county because there are smaller parcels within the county-owned area that's owned by the state of California and or private ownership. The county has started with a much smaller scale, but as time has gone, few people who have recognized that they cannot have a million-dollar view home in that area, nor they can buy a few others and build a resort. They have given up paying their property taxes eventually they foreclosed and has become a county property. I'm going to give you a lot of dates. For this last 2-3 weeks, we have tried our best to get as much information as possible. But let me say also that I stand to be corrected, because as I move forward, some of the information that it's coming to me through members of our staff, it has changed as we go through and do further studying. Now, bear in mind, because where I want to go with this is come to the sale, if it's in conformity or not. Is the sale in conformity? According to our planning commission, is not. And allow me to explain why not. And what does it mean, conformity? Does everybody understand that term? Because I didn't when I first heard it. No? Okay. Let me start with the private sector. That's where it makes sense to me. I own a building in the village of Royal Grande in an area that's zoned commercial, but you were residing in it. You decided to sell. And the new buyer want to buy that building and rent it out for residential use. It cannot. It's not in conformity. It has to change its use to a commercial. What has happened here? It's a mixed message. I'm not here to point my finger at the Coastal Commission, which happened to be myself a member, and or the Board of Supervisors. Before I go any further, also with us, Debbie Arnold just came in representing Assemblyman Sam Blakesley. Thank you for being here. Now, from 1936, let me go to 1982, the Coastal Commission allowed vehicle use up and down the dunes, including the property owned by the County of San Luis Obispo. In 1983, the county leased this portion to the state of California. And why did they lease it to the state? What were the reasons? There were two, and they're still as important then as they are today. One is that the liability. Obviously, we have folks who are driving their cars. There are some who drink and drive. There are some who violate the speed limit, and accidents do take place. Who's liable? Anybody they can sue, starting with the County of San Luis, who owns the property, the state, and everybody else. So the county said, enough is enough. We don't want to deal with the liability. What can we do about it? They listed to the state parks to get rid of the liability issue. Number two is that we have a lot of endangered species, and to protect the habitats is very costly. I stand to be corrected, but my understanding is state spends something like $1 million a year to protect the habitats. Also in 1983, the state owned, call it an access, about 200 feet above the mean high tide, correct? So bear with me. I'm giving you those dates and what the state owns, why we gave it away, to make a point of conformity or not. Piece to the east and to piece to the west. That meant that you, from that sandy highway to the west, vehicles are allowed. That sandy highway to the north, it's a buffer zone where cars can't take any access, and because the dunes beyond it, above it, are more sensitive than the areas below it. So what has that told us? By certifying that map and telling us that portion of it is not accessible to vehicles, but yet in 1983, they permitted vehicle access throughout this portion of the property we're talking about, is a mixed message where it's not in conformity, which means the buyer or the person who's going to lease it or has any interest to take control of this piece of property has to do exactly what it is there for. In other words, if State Parks wants to purchase this piece of property in order to maintain its existing activities as it is today, And as it was for 100 years, as a few months ago they celebrated that 100 years, it's not in conformity. To be in conformity, they have to buy this piece of property and keep it as it's certified by the Coastal Commission. If I lost you, don't feel bad, because it took me for a while for me to understand it as well. So we have an issue. We haven't gone yet, but my direction to our staff is that I need you to go back to Coastal Commission and clean up the mess we have, regardless whose fault it is. It could be, might as well be ours, in order to make this in conformity to be able to sell or not to sell. What options do we have? Obviously, we might have an option that I haven't heard of that you know, and you'll bring it to me as we listen to what you have to say. Another option, it could be sell it. As I believe Oceano Community Service District unanimously, with those who were present at that meeting, have decided to either tell the county or let us know somehow that their decision is their support sales of this property. They would like to receive $1 a car, but then again, that's not the decision that the county is going to do. That decision is strictly based on the state. Each place in Larry's shoes and say, can't you get rid of the cars? Can we? Who has the authority to do that? Well, I get emails say, don't do anything, just let the state shut the door. Do we have the authority to do that? The answer is no. We only own this portion of the property, and as I mentioned, that within the green area, that's our right there, that we own the property. Within that property, the state owns property, very small scales, but quite few of them, and also private ownership exists. Now, some folks will say, well, keep it as is and put a fence around it. And we find out through our legal counsel that because other people have access or need to have access to their properties, we cannot put a fence around it. Those are legalities. Now, what kind of a fence can we put up there to keep the OHV folks out of it? If you talk about the height, the size, the strength, I think it's going to get to a point where the Coastal Commission won't allow something like that to go on there. Can we put a fence and be held, still held liable? Because obviously, if you want to break through, you'll be able to do that. So what are the what ifs? What if we told the state parks, go take a hike. We're going to fence this, and no deal. Did we keep, by doing that, do we keep the cars out of the dunes? The answer is no. Simply because they own access to the area, from Pier Avenue, from Grand Avenue. One of the questions is, from Grand Avenue, you can't make a right turn, so it's a vehicle-free area. I wish that was from Pier Avenue to the creek, which will allow the folks living on Strand Avenue peaceful. And I did a lot of driving this Saturday, as I have done in the past, but more so focused on the areas that were considered as an alternative access. And I can see, if I was living on Strand Avenue, on certain holidays, that from pier to the creek, it's going to look like what Highway 101 looks like from 101 to the LAX on 405. Is it fair? It's not fair. Who has authority to do something about it? Let's say I stand here and I promise that we were going to fence off our property. Did I do you any good? And if I look at it in those terms, who represents the community of Oceano? In Oceano, are those five community service district board members that you elect, and their choices, as publicly they've said, we want it sold. When I listen to them, am I listening to the community of Oceano? How about the neighboring city of Grover Beach? So where do I go with this direction given to us? I'm just trying to draw a picture for you to look at it from all points of view. What is the best decision we can make to help all concerned. It's going to be a tough one. But as I painted the picture, I can look at Mr. Zelke said, of course, that's one person speaking. Four of my colleagues might think differently. And I can say, no deal. It's our property. We're going to shut the doors. And again, I repeat myself. By doing so, we're not stopping vehicle access to the other areas of the dunes. And again, as I said in the very beginning, I stand to be corrected as I'm here tonight to listen what you have to say and give me some ideas and where else I have to go to do more homework. And this isn't the last time we meet, because what I would like to do as a follow-up, go to the advisory councils and maybe put a task force together from the members of Oceano, from members who live on Strand Avenue, members from the Community Service District, members from the Halcyon Temple, members from the Oceano Improvement Association, and come up with a list, including the state parks and local environmental organizations, have representatives, to start looking into this deeper than it is. It's very easy. And I'm not picking up on Bill Dineen, and let me publicly thank him for his input, because he often feels free to write me. And I respond back. I always look forward to your input, even though I've disappointed you more than I do you any good. But Mr. Dineen wrote a letter to the Coastal Commission. And when I was reading a copy of that email, it was right on, because he knows who has the authority to do something with this. By saying that, I'm not dumping the responsibility away from me individually, because I have to, you don't know, probably the cost of...
$292,000.
That's a lot of money. I have to work for the county 4 years to come close to that figure.
That's right.
But they have
figured out different accesses, and every access has its own pain. And talking to other folks have said, well, that doesn't make sense, in a way that you have disturbed what used to be sensitive to the environment, taking access from either Pier Avenue and or Grand Avenue. Now you're going to have more disruption to environmentally sensitive vegetation and or the red-legged frog and or any kind of endangered species. And those are all spelled out in this book. I have one. If you want to look into it, you're welcome to it. I don't know if there are copies available through the parks. This is their property. I'm glad I have one to go through it myself. And they have done a good job in my personal thinking that they have spelled out every one of those alternatives and the problems that come with it. But gaining another access, who does that please? For those of you that don't want any cars on the dunes, obviously that's not the answer. You don't want any access. But for reasons that you had more accesses than just Pier and Grand Avenue in the past, for the environmental reasons that the Coastal Commission forced the local jurisdiction to close those accesses. So there is no easy answer. I'm not here to stand today. I look into it, and this is my answer, and this is where it's going to work. It's not. With that, I'm going to take a little short break and have Mr. Zelke come and be part of this presentation. And I did ask Mr. Zelke if somebody from here, from Condor, can come and tell us a little bit of what they've done, what is this book about. Is that the gentleman here? Why don't you come up? We'll introduce you or introduce yourself and tell us. And after that, we can go into public comment period, because what I want to do tonight, listen what you have to say more than what I can tell you. I just hope that I painted a picture with all the what ifs, with the options that can be possible to us. And regardless of any...
So we do, what our company does is biological surveys. We do environmental planning, land planning, as it has to do with how land is used. So we were hired by state parks, and the correct contract amount was about $192,000, not 292. Anyway, the study took about a year and a half. It involved firstly identifying what alternatives are there. Let me step back. The purpose of the study was not to evaluate the impacts of the current access points from Grand and Pier. That was not the objective. It was not an environmental impact report on the existing access or on the existing park operations. So, for example, we didn't look at impacts to plovers or terns or anything else from the existing operation. The question really was, what would the impacts be of any one of these other alternatives, both from an environmental perspective as well as from a policy perspective? So the environmental issues that we looked at were biology, so rare plants and animals, archaeology. Would it impact a Chumash archaeological site or one of the Dunite sites? And a number of other issues like noise and aesthetics. Certainly the primary focus was on the biology and the archaeology, but we looked at some of the other issues too. And then the policy questions that we looked at were policies from the local coastal plan, that the county's local coastal plan, and the state parks long-range planning documents. And so what we found was, just to kind of get right to the point, was that any one of the alternatives that we looked at would have really significant adverse impacts on to a number of environmental resources. If one were to build a road as an extension of the ConocoPhillips Road, you know, past the plant, across the tracks, and go into the dunes, it takes several right by the population of some red-legged frogs that we found, and pond turtles, and a number of other things. But those are just an example. If we were to take the road from that's on the that comes in from Silver Spur on the south side of the creek, like from the south levee, we'd have to. The levee is fine to drive on and could be widened, and it's a fairly reasonable proposition. But as any of you, most of you probably know, the road then drops at the end. The road kind of ends and it drops down into a trail and goes into this fairly dense riparian forest. It's dense willows. It's pretty narrow. It's at most maybe about 6 feet wide. Maybe it's a bit wider in some places, but the point is that in order to put a road in that's going to be wide enough for two-way traffic that's going to go in and out, it's going to have to be fairly wide, and you take the riparian habitat would take a major hit, as well as some Chumash sites that are along the way. And then what you end up, then you're not quite at the beach. Somehow then you have to traverse the dunes in order to get to the beach. And where you are, where you end up, is it the dune preserve, which state parks is planned for the dune preserve, as I understand it. And Andy, correct me if I'm wrong, but that it's intended to be a nature preserve. And so if you put a road that's wide enough for the two cars, then you're going to change that dramatically. So there's problems with that one. If you went all the way down to Oso Flaco, most of you know the history that there was a road at one point and that got closed off, at least in part for environmental reasons. And if you were to put that back in, again, the road would be going through the two bodies of the lake. There'd be impacts to wetlands probably. And then again, the road would have to turn and go through the dunes in order to hit the beach. And then once it hit the beach, then you'd have to, in order to get to the driving area or the camping area, you'd have to go right through where the plovers and the terns are nesting. So each one of these alternatives has a fairly significant set of impacts. So then we thought, well, okay, and out the sand changes, the course of the stream changes. It's a dynamic environment. So one option would be, in theory anyway, would be to drive some piers essentially down into the beach going perpendicular to the path of the stream. And then the cars could drive over the creek one at a time, over the bridge, and then down to the other side that goes to the south side of the creek. There's some engineering, I think, serious feasibility questions about whether that's really feasible. But even if it was, there are problems with it gets into a whole set of operational questions, because then you've got to have people there to make sure that the vehicle flow is happening in a safe way. So the other option that we looked at, which is in both of these options are in the plan, is a movable bridge where you'd have state parks equipment that would pull a bridge, or possibly two of them that are parallel, again going perpendicular to the path of the stream. And that could move in response to the changing location of the stream. So it doesn't have the same feasibility questions, because you're not drilling anything permanent into the beach. And so it's more feasible, certainly, than the option of the piers. It doesn't resolve the question of it's going to take a lot of operational work that maybe Andy could describe, but in terms of, you know, needing people there to make sure that there's safe operation. There's going to be one vehicle at a time that's going to would go over the bridge, and you know, there'd be a line, and cars would be idling, and there's some safety issues. And then there would be times, of course, when the bridge would not be usable because the creek is too high. The bridge couldn't be very high. It would only be a couple of feet above. Sure. The question was, can you name the other accesses that we looked at? So there were the two bridges. There was using the north levee and the south levee of the creek, and there were different ways to get there. So Railroad Avenue comes in from Highway 1. I'm sorry, what? Right, that's the north levee. Thank you, that's helpful. So Ocean Street, Creek Road, Railroad, they all come, they get onto the north levee. So you can get fairly easily and without too many certainly without too many environmental problems, you can get up to the north levee, and then, which is a very drivable surface and could be widened, and you can drive the north levee. Now, of course, if you go all the way to the end, then you're still on the north side of the creek. If you want to get to the south side, you could cross at the Guyton Crossing, and you could build a new bridge, and we showed an option of what could be designed. We designed it's a basic bridge with as little impact to the creek as possible. There's one or two piers, and then you could cross over at the Guyton Crossing, and then you're on the south side. Then the question is, well, you still have to get to the beach, so what do you do from there? So then, if you head west along the south levee, again, the south levee ends, it drops down into that willow forest. It's a road, but then the road kind of peters into a fairly narrow trail. There are equestrians who use it, and people walk it, and so on. So again, once you're at the south levee, it continues as a road for a bit, that could be widened, but then it drops down into that willow forest. It's got the biology impacts, it's got the archaeology, and you end up at the dune preserve. And then this gentleman says no problem, but then so you've got impacts along the way. You hit the dune preserve, and then you've got then you would have impacts to the dune preserve because you still have to get out to the beach on the south side of the creek. So there were two or three options there that used the access from the north, but you still end up with that problem. You still have to get to the south side to avoid the creek crossing. The whole this then turning west on Silver Spur, and before you hit the I can't think of what the name of it is, but the trailer, the RV park, I can't think of what it's called. Silver Spur. You turn back towards the creek just through an ag field. Again, that part is fairly simple and pretty minimal amount of impacts. And then you get up to the South Levee. And again, the South Levee is not a problem for a while. It does go past a couple of private homes and an equestrian operation. And there'd probably be a land use conflict with that landowner and that operation. But if you keep on going, so the South Levee continues going west, and then again it drops down to that forest. So again, you're kind of stuck with, you've solved the problem. You don't have to build a new bridge over the creek because 22nd Street is already there, but you still have to go through that forested area, and then you still hit the dune system, and then how do you get through it? Do you plow a road through it, or you try to go through an existing trail and out? It's a really difficult question, and it definitely has those impacts. So those were the alternatives that we looked at the northern end of the study area, and then we looked at ConocoPhillips, and again there's some really sensitive dune habitat there, all kinds of sensitive plants and animals that would be impacted. And then the road continues all the way out to the unvegetated dunes, but it ceases to be drivable some, I can't remember what it is, a mile and a half or something like that, maybe it's even more, a couple miles from the beach. So if you were to do that, you would say, okay, well, we'll accept the biological impacts of driving as far as we can, and then we'll build the road that far, as far as cars can drive, and then we're going to stop, and then what would we do? How would we get people to the beach? Well, you could, in theory, you could build a parking lot or a camping area at the end of the dunes there. It doesn't, by itself, it doesn't succeed at getting people to the beach. And in the meantime, it has these environmental impacts. So then the last option that we looked at is down at Oso Flaco. And, you know, you can drive to the edge of the lake. But then at that point, then you have to go through the dunes again in order to get to the beach. And so again, there's impacts, pretty significant impacts to the biology there. So that's what we looked at. Sure.
It is about access, and it is about... for the people of the community of Oceano about how people get onto the beach. And the reality of it is today and likely tomorrow and possibly into the future, the accesses will be as they are. So living with that outcome, I think the issue fundamentally here today is the merits of selling the property to state parks for the purpose that it has been used for since 1983 by operating agreement or lease, or how it's been used historically since county has had ownership, or how it's been used since the turn of the century. Irregardless, the beach will be accessed by vehicles, and there will be an SVRA by state law. So whether it's a smaller SVRA or a larger one that it consists of today's current operating park, it will exist. So we need to, you know, arrive at that conclusion and look towards opportunities to make improvements where there are problems. You know, if all OHV recreation does is negatively impact the community, then I submit to you that's not accurate at all. That the resources provided here, the park is managed exceptionally well. It's a 3,600 acre park, of which 60% of it's closed, fully closed to off-highway vehicle recreation. Much of it has been restored, and all of it is being maintained annually at a tremendous price to the OHV Trust Fund. And that can't be, that shouldn't be overlooked. Of course, we don't get credit for it. Of course, there's many out there that would say that State Parks isn't doing an adequate job protecting the resources, but I can tell so by a number of parties. And that will have yet to be worked out. The issue of access to the beach, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing at Pier or Grand Avenue, will fundamentally be worked out at some point. We believe that we have satisfied the Coastal Commission's requirement to determine what is a permanent access, what is a permanent staging area, by virtue of studies that have been conducted at tremendous expense, both largely concluding the same thing. So, vehicles are on the beach, and they're driving down to the SVRA, and they're driving into the county property that we operate as part of the SVRA, and that we are protecting the resources as required by state law within that property, within the SVRA. I think one of the things that was kind of left out regarding the history is that two reasons were given for why the county chose to lease the property to state parks, and there actually is a third. The third reason is that the county couldn't control the access, couldn't control the trespass into private property into our own dune preserve to the north, and that when the state came forward after the 1982 permit from the Coastal Commission, we asked the county if we could install fences to keep that trespass from happening. They agreed and then entered into a lease agreement with State Parks. So we did the county a favor solving that problem. And we've done the county a favor ever since in terms of reducing liability. So, you know, I think what you have to look at is what are the merits, what is there at risk to the people of the County of San Luis Obispo if the property is sold to State Parks? Is there anything to risk? I think what you would see is the benefits to the community, the benefits to the county that are largely understated and overlooked in terms of economic impact alone. You can't overlook that. If we're not really talking about the future of Oceano Dunes, I think we're talking about the future of San Luis Obispo County. If you think in terms of 2 million visitors coming to this county, coming to the South County. And if you don't think they spend money in this county and in this city, in this community, I think you're gravely mistaken. In 1990, I think it was 91, 93, there was an economic impact study that revealed that visitors to the park at that time, it was around 800,000, I think, visitors, were contributing $94 million to the local economy, which created permanent full-time jobs, sustained businesses, and basically fed families. At any rate, in my mind, the bigger issues with regard to the county property is, as was mentioned, access. The property out there is subdivided. It has 26 streets, avenues, and corresponding alleys. And on these corresponding streets, avenues, and alleys are parcels that are not owned by the county. So imagine what the fencing would look like out there. It would be literally miles of fencing just to keep vehicles out. And I don't really believe that if you did that, as mentioned, would you be able to adequately do that, because the burden wouldn't be on state parks to make sure trespass didn't occur. The burden would be on the county to maintain and operate the fences, provide law enforcement and public safety. And we do the best we could, but I don't think we could guarantee that it wouldn't be exactly as it was pre-1983. So, thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. What I would like to remind you of one date that has been postponed. This item was supposed to be in front of Board of Supervisors in March, but because during that time we have two supervisors who are going to miss the meeting, and this requires 4/5 vote, it's rescheduled for April 17th. So if you want to make a note of that. Having heard the speakers, I can still assure everybody that regardless of its economic impact, my focus is with the community of Oceano and what kind of impact it has, either negative or positive. And that's the purpose for me to approach my advisory council, not impact them more than they are, and have a task force start looking at the studies and the accesses, and hopefully if there will be a recommendation to the board, will come with something like a good neighbor policy attached to that. Does anyone fill one of those forms that hasn't given it to us yet? Because what I have is almost 40 requests. That's about, if I limit it to three minutes, that's going to be about an hour and a half. So at one point, I want to stop taking these forms, and if we have more time, we'll have you speak again. And if you want to speak with me later, I'm available as well. Does anyone wishes to speak before? Please bring your request forward. Anybody else? Otherwise, that's going to be my last speaker's request. Are you done with your request? Can I have it, please?
I think you might
already have it. Cordless mics. And I'm going to call names, and we'll start with two names. So if you raise your hand, they will bring the mic to you. And please give us your name. We don't have to know where you live, but if you live in Oceano, let us know so. We don't need to know your address or anything, but identify yourself if you care to. First request to speak is Dennis Law, followed by Peter Keith. If you raise your hands, and we'll bring the mics to you. And if anyone wants to volunteer, Vicky, please offer her your help. Mr. Law is in the back. And Mr. Keaty is up front. And if I call you with your first name, doesn't mean any disrespect. Dennis, we're going to give you 3 minutes, and like anybody else, and please. Do we have, Dennis, before I ask you, does anybody want to help me with the timer? If you want to come up front here and give me the buzz. You can do it. Okay, give him the green light, and we'll give him a red light. Go ahead.
I'll be brief. My name's Dennis Law. I live in San Luis Obispo, born and raised in this community. I'm an off-road motorcycle rider. I'm here to encourage a decision that will allow for continued use of the dunes for off-roading. It's a very valid and appropriate recreational activity. Many people engage in it. They're good people. I like to consider myself a good person. And so I'm supportive of that. I'm here also in my capacity as the president of the CCMA, which is the Central Coast Motorcycle Association. I speak on behalf of that association to encourage the continued use of off-roading. Our association has put on a charity benefit in the dunes for the last 3 years. It's been growing in numbers. A lot of local people participate and come out to that. We raise monies for two charities, one that assists injured motorcycle racers and another that does research for spinal cord injuries. These are good causes. Off-roading is a good sport, and I know the county of San Luis Obispo is looking for places to allow for that recreational use and is amending its general plan to promote
lots of purposes for vehicular access, for horseback riding, and for running and hiking through the sand dunes. I'd like to speak to you for a moment about the negative financial impact that not using the dunes for vehicular access and recreation might have. There are 2.3 million visitors to the South County and the Sand Dunes. There are $200 million spent in the South County as a result of that. If you take $200 million out of the economic equation for South County, what you're going to see, what we will see, is diminished sales and diminished sales tax as a result of that. I think there would be some serious concern about whether or not any developer would bid on the proposed hotel at the west end of Grand Avenue. The impacts will be felt by every citizen of this community. Taxes would have to necessarily be increased. Businesses would fail as a result of a loss of sales. I think that a wise thing to do is to change the general plan of the county so that it conforms to the state law that mandates that the vehicle recreation area is used for just that. Changing the general plan puts it in conformance. There are a number, as you've heard, there are a number of privately held parcels in the area in question, and trying to fence in corridors for access would be difficult on several levels. One of those levels would address prescriptive rights. The sand dunes have been accessed for 100 years. How do you stop people from coming in legally when there are prescriptive rights to those particular areas? I hope you'll consider the financial negative impact to each member of this community if access to those sand dunes is denied. I'd also like to remind you that this world is comprised of flora, fauna, and humans, and families need a place to recreate, to smile, and to have fun together as well. Thank you.
Bill Bookhouse, followed by Mark.
We receive a lot from the dunes itself. The five cities overall do receive a lot from the dunes. And as a resident of Oceano, I would like to see some improvements, possibly with the sale of this property to the community of Oceano. And we've talked about a South Beach entrance, and going out of Oceano is really not practical from what I've knowledge I have. But when talk is coming from Railroad Street, across the Guyton property, and out to the beach, this is a very good alternative access point. Now, the county airport is right here. With the county FAA laws, you cannot do any wetlands environmental improvements within 10,000 feet of an airport. So that would allow easy access off of 22nd Pier Ave or the levee going down to the beach. There's some problems with this area here, as the state park owns the park over here and the lagoon. I'm not exactly sure who owns the lagoon, but the lagoon has been sedimentating in for a number of years. Possibly, with the sale of the dunes out here, a good portion of that money could go into dredging out the lagoon, enhancing the lagoon so that we don't see future flooding in Oceano. The levee that's right here is blocked with tules, and this tules are blocking two gates, which the county, I believe, is currently looking at going in improving. By doing a south entrance through here, we can come straight out onto the beach, relieve some of the pressure off of Pier Avenue and Grand Avenue, even though these two entrances, it's my belief, need to be remade. But that would relieve a lot of pressure. Historically, in my time here in Oceano, this water that comes down the Rio Grande Creek has gone directly straight out. In the last couple of years, the flow of it has gone down here and wiped out several sand dunes south of this, and you can now see the water coming out here, and water used to go out here. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark Wampler, followed by Jim Hill.
My name is Mark Mopolder.
I'm sorry, sir. What's your last name?
It's Mopolder.
It's Mark Wampler. Wampler. Gentleman. Go ahead. If he allows it, I'll try to be careful. And I apologize if I mispronounce your names.
Best friend and my driving buddy when we go on the beach, whether it be in our Jeep, dune buggy, even just going down for a nice afternoon picnic. I've owned a home, or I own a home, and I own a business in the city of Grover Beach. I also rent industrial property in the city of Oceano, or in Oceanos, from 1986 to present. Cannot speak for the entire business community of Grover Beach, but my repair facility does service many motorhomes, many ATVs, many trucks, and is a great or a big part of my annual income at my shop. Seeing any reduction in the number of vehicles or campers or anything at the beach would greatly affect my business. I am 100% for the sale to the state of the property, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Next is Jim Hill, followed by Nell Langford.
I thought you gave your term to him, but let's go to Mr. Wampler.
Good evening. My name is Mark Wampler, Oceano resident. Grandpa came here back in the late 1940s to settle here on Beach Street. And we came out here in 1967, graduated from Roy Grandy High School. The Central Coast will always be my favorite spot, even though I've traveled around. There's nothing that can beat our weather and our environment here. At first, I was somewhat hesitant about the sale to the state, but I really think it's a good idea now. I think that Oceano can. Testing. All right. Battery going out.
Check. Check. 1, 2. 1, 2.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Steve. Test. Hello. Still not getting nothing.
You want to
try this? Test. It was going off and on.
1, 2.
Fire department, on the other hand, provides emergency services on the beach paid for by Oceano's property owners. Today, Oceano is years behind in capital improvements. Children have no park to play on the east side, no public restroom facilities either. In addition, our streets continue to make newspapers every stormy season with flooding issues on the front pages. Low-income homeowners who save years to add on a room may just have to give up when they have to also pay for the county's sidewalks out of pocket. In 2003, a comprehensive drainage study was conducted here to the tune of $100,000. The study also included a system of curbs, gutters, and sidewalks in addition to a drainage plan. There was money for a study, but no funds for implementation. I want to think that the state parks should become a better neighbor to Oceano's east side. This may be an opportunity to negotiate an agreement whereby Oceano District may acquire a direct financial benefit as part of the sale of the proposed beach area. And I want to emphasize the word direct. Of the $4 million in state income, the proposal must be introduced to collect a percentage of every vehicle that passes the kiosk. Those funds must be directly deposited to Oceano District coffers, in my opinion. While Oceano District lacks the jurisdiction to implement worthy community projects, income from beach sales may be allocated from the district to the proper authorities to engage in such projects such as parks and drainage solutions and street improvements. And LAFCO may have to also get involved and brought into the picture to authorize such an agreement. But I don't believe these promises from the state are just enough. Specific deed restrictions must be imposed as part of escrow instructions to ensure that such an agreement continues to be in force. I hope you will consider that in order to provide a better state-run beach area means that Oceano itself must be just as attractive as the beach in terms of amenities and access to basic services. Thanks.
Please, let's refrain from that. And next was Mr. Hill, followed by Nell Langford.
Thank you, Cacho, and also thanks to Andy Zilke and
C. Ray here from the state parks.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hill. I'm yes, ma'am. Okay.
Hello.
Why don't you come up front and use this?
Citizens of Oceano are glad for our neighbors' benefit. We applaud that, and the economic benefit is undeniable. Those communities collect the sales tax and the transient occupancy tax that help them mitigate the effects of the 2 million visitors that come to the state park annually. Unfortunately, in the community of Oceano, being unincorporated, we get no portion of the sales tax or transient occupancy tax that our couple of motels and a dozen restaurants and businesses do take into the county. The impacts of the park on the community, and this is not to disparage the efforts of state parks. I think Superintendent Zilke and the state parks staff have done as good a job as they can within their jurisdiction. That's the problem for Oceano, is overlapping jurisdictions. And since the impact of the SVRA is ongoing, a one-time sharing of the benefit from the income from the sales of the property that might go to Oceano would not address the ongoing impact to the community of not having sales tax and other revenues to deal with the ongoing impact of the many people that come here. Whereas our neighbor communities do have the ability to deal with that. And that's why we need the county to put some kind of deed restriction or make some kind of negotiation that would allow Oceano specifically, and it doesn't really matter whether we talk about Pier Avenue being the only entrance to the beach or some of the, like through Silver Spur and some of the other locations, all of those locations go through Oceano and all of them would have effectively the same impact at one point or another. But the community needs some source of funding to deal with the parking, the traffic, the sand, the trash, the lack of restroom facilities, and the lack of parks on the east side of Oceano that have been well documented in the Oceano specific plan and otherwise. And so that's why I would urge the county to we don't object to the sale to the state. In fact, we think this is probably beneficial, provided that the community gets a dollar a car or some provision.
Working? Yes, thank you.
If it's working, you can stay there.
Oh, I'd rather come close to you, Concho. You know, I feel like a mosquito in a nudist colony. I don't know where to begin. But let me begin with you. 1936. I've been to hundreds of these meetings. Hundreds. And they all end up the same way. More study. My question to you is, where is the vision for this community? We have, in the dunes, a national natural monument. We can't even see it. The only people who can see it are the off-roaders. Why don't we have a bridge? Why don't we have a beautiful bridge that goes on the other side of the county property, letting the off-highway people have one part of it, and having us have the other? Having children walk on the beach. This community, as many people have said, is unique. How many of you know the name Amanda Orm? Raise your hand. That little three-year-old was killed out here on the dunes because she, out on the beach in a natural preserve where you offload, where vehicles are prohibited by state law, because she dared to be there. Our kids don't go out there. Kids from Grover don't go there. Kids from Napomo don't go there. Kids from Rio Grande don't go there. And Oceano kids can't even baptize their kids out there anymore as they used to, the little Mexican church, because they'll be run over. So all of this thing about economic impact, what about a safe pedestrian beach for Oceano? This is, I mean, what community can't have that? It's our greatest asset. Nobody's going to come here and tell us that the SVR is here to stay, because we are here to stay first. We were here first. We were here before the vehicles, and don't tell me 100 years either, because I've been here, and I know when they started going on the dunes. You couldn't get on the dunes 100 years ago unless you were flying. Come on. There were no vehicles that could do that. Let me talk about your studies. This business is about $200,000. Why can't they come up with an alternative, a beautiful bridge that we can use and you can use, and we can all see the dunes? Let's buy a bridge.
Thank you.
And he'll sell it to you.
Please. Donna Stone, followed by Jerry Bebel.
My name is Don Stone. I live in Templeton, California, and I have property here in Arroyo Grande. My business is directly impacted by this sale, because if it's not sold, then I don't have a business here. I have no way to provide for my family. So if you decide not to sell it, I move somewhere else, take my money that I've received from the sale of my home, from all my business money that I spend here every day, I take it to a different community, buy a home there, spend my money there every day. How does that benefit this community? Does anybody have a plan to replace the $200 million a year that the visitors bring in? I haven't seen anybody with one of those. I started coming here around the age of 5 or 6. Living in this area now, I see all the impacts. The impact is everybody complaining about their property value. You want your property value to go up. It was here. It's just like a refinery. People buy a home there. Their property is worth a certain amount. They lobby to get it closed. Their property value is now doubled. Who does that benefit? That one person's property. So please, I remind you, every time you vote to close it, you take away from me and the other business owners here that directly relate to these dunes being open. Thank you.
No, we're going to, please. Jerry Bebel,
B-E-B-E-L-L, if I said your name correctly, followed by Michael Wynn.
Okay, my name's actually Lee Bedell, but that was close.
Maybe you are a different person, so this does say.
That's my wife. She had to leave, so I'm speaking for her.
Okay. Sorry, we lost the better half. Go ahead.
I live nearby, right behind here, Juanita Avenue in Oceano. And I don't have a business here, and I don't have any economic interest other than my home. But for many of us who live in this area, what we're concerned about is what happens to Pier Avenue on weekends. As many of you who very enthusiastically talk about your fun in the dunes, your number better fine. People aren't going to be kept from the dunes. I don't think there's any question about that. But the issue is Pier Avenue still going to remain the primary staging area? A lot of you, no doubt, have had to park and stay on Pier Avenue clear back to Dolliver before you were able to enter the beach on certain weekends. That's not a good situation for anybody, and it's not safe. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wynn, followed by Alma Quesnell.
Hello. Thank you, Cacho, for coming and listening to us this evening. My name is Mike Wynn. I was born here in this county. I've been recreating in the beaches and the dunes here for 65 years. I'm going to urge you not to sell it to the state of California. I don't see any benefit in transferring control from the Board of Supervisors to Sacramento. I don't think they'll listen to us as well as we can hear locally. I would like us to somehow break out of the impasse between one group of people saying keep everything out of the dunes and the other group saying look at the businesses, and I think we have to find a middle way. Otherwise, this impasse just keeps going on and on with the two sides talking at cross purposes. I think a couple of things are really clear. The damage to the dune system will not continue indefinitely. I don't know how it'll end, but whether it's through litigation or something else from some government agency, it can't go on forever. Secondly, the noise and pollution are contrary to sound environmental policy, both that have been adopted by your board and by other groups in the county. Third, injuries and liability are significant, and they're not going to go away. All that adds up to is at some time, not soon maybe, but at some time, permitting vehicular access to the dunes will end. What I would suggest is this. Begin now in finding some way to build sound business models that will allow new businesses to arise that take advantage of a quiet and peaceful beach and dune system. Secondly, go ahead and lease it to the state for a short term, but announce a sunset clause so that businesses that are dependent can make sound business decisions that they will need to change, and new businesses will have time to ramp up and be able to take advantage of the new system. Chambers of Commerce, Grover Beach City Council, Oceano CSD, Cal Poly, Oceano Improvement.
Is Mr. Souza here? You'll be followed by Michael Stevenson.
Hi, my name is David Souza. I own a property residence on the Strand in Oceano. I'm probably a fourth or fifth generation that's been coming and recreating over here on the coast. As we talked about before, you know, maybe there's an argument of whether or not cars have been on the beach for 100 years. My grandfather used to tell me stories that they would come over in covered wagons with horses. They would take 3 days traveling from Hanford, California, all the way over to the coast here, where they would drive the horses and the wagons on the beach. So I know for at least before the time of cars, my family has been coming to the beach, enjoying the dunes, enjoying the wonderful clams that I miss. I remember growing up over here, I was here every minus tide. It didn't matter when it was, what time it was, or how cold it was. I was in the beach, in the water, trying to get those wonderful clams that I miss very much. I'm not really an off-roader. I've probably been out in the dunes about 4 times in my life. I have been out there with quads and ATCs. But the dunes are very important. It's very important that we have good, wholesome family activities. I know there's a discrepancy around here that people think that everybody out there is just wild and crazy and it's a party time for all. It's not. It's good family fun. There are families out there working together, recreating together, and really enjoying themselves out there. And if we don't have activities where we can take our kids, where we can really enjoy the natural environment, it's really a shame. With 60% of the beach closed already to the OHVers, it's a wonderful opportunity to go out and enjoy nature. I enjoy nature. I also enjoy being out in the dunes and the OHVers. You know, we can all live together and work together. The state has been a wonderful neighbor and a partner of ours. One of my biggest concerns is the blowing sand that we will always have in Oceano. The sand never goes away. The sand is a wonderful thing, and it's a terrible thing. The state is really bent over backwards to try to help us with that issue. They've erected wind fences.
Hi, Gwen Haydenrick.
Hi, everybody. I want to thank you guys for letting me talk today. I'm from San Luis Obispo, and me and my family have been coming out to these dunes since I can't remember. Since I was born, probably. But we come out here pretty much every weekend. We don't come here and trash it. Whatever we bring in, we bring out. That's what most people are. We're not here to destroy the environment. We're not here to harm anything. We just want a place where we can come and have some fun as a family, build some values together, and then go back home. Come back next weekend and do the same thing again. I ask that you guys sell the land of the state, because really what Oceano has here is very unique. It is the only beach in California where you can drive a vehicle onto the beach itself. I don't understand why you guys would take something that makes your community that unique and get rid of it. It just doesn't make sense to me. Once again, thank you everybody for letting me talk today.
Next is Gwen, followed by Susie Richardson.
Hi, my name is Gwen Heidenreich, and I've been coming out to Oceano Dunes since 1966. I was born in 64, so I've been coming out here with my parents since I was 2 years old, enjoying the dunes in buggies, now in quads. My parents still come out here with us at least 2 to 3 times a year. They don't stay out on the dunes, but they do stay in the other vehicle parks outside of the dunes, and they come down and stay with us throughout the day and enjoy the campfires in the evening. My father, every time he comes out here with us, his eyes just kind of glass over as he sees my children playing in the sand the way that we did when we were children. I wish we could still do the clam chowder like we used to when we used to go clamming when we were children. We don't do that anymore, but we do enjoy the dunes. As the gentleman before said, we take out our trash as we bring it in. We do not disrupt or destroy. We're not loud partiers, as most of the people that I know are not. Recently, I've even met up with some of the people that came out to the dunes with us when I was a child, and I asked them, are you still going out? And most of them said, we camp at this spot, come see us. And so many of the people that have been camping since the 60s are still out there, and we all have a great time, and we want to keep it that way. We would like to continue to use the dunes. Thank you.
Thank you, Susie.
And many of them understand and know the critical issues that if the dunes do close, that their businesses will be affected, many people being laid off from their jobs, which would ultimately affect the community on top of the money that we bring to your community. My family, for example, when we come over here, at least bi-monthly, spend anywhere from probably $300 to $600 alone each visit we come to your community in entertainment, food, gasoline, and shopping. I have teenagers, so you probably understand where that money is coming to. I find it shameful that you portray us as being abusers of your community. We are, in fact, contribute to your community, your economy, as a in a positive way. We would not, it is so important to us that we wouldn't even mind you doubling the fees for us to go camp out at Pismo Beach. It is so important to us. We see it being nothing as a choice of a lifestyle. We're not any different than you. We do not abuse your property. In fact, we enjoy your habitat and the way that the dunes are there for everybody's lifestyle. We can live with you. You say you want to shut the doors to no vehicle. Well, let me inform you that this is a tourist area. If you shut the doors to the dunes, you will be shutting the doors to many businesses and many jobs. Your economy will not survive without us. I can say personally that the families at the time spend together out there in the recreation in this park is an opportunity for us to open the door to our families, to our children. Having this information helps us directly communicate with our children towards their positive activities and behaviors, reducing the likelihood that they're going to be involved in drugs, tobacco, alcohol, or any other legal activities. So yes, we are, my family, and also in the support of Club ATV West, which we are a member of, we all support the sale of the dunes to the state. Thank you.
Ginger, followed by Ms. Naylor.
Hello, my name is Ginger Shank, and I live in Grover Beach. I lived in Oceano for 6 years on Honolulu Street. I loved every minute of it. I wanted to purchase a home, and I couldn't afford a home down in this area, so that is why I purchased in Grover Beach. I'm also a new business owner in the area, and I am supporting the sale of land to the state. The economy, all statements that kids locally do not play on that beach is ludicrous. I mean, if you don't go
please,
to the beach...
Please, ladies and gentlemen, and you're taking time away from her by doing so.
I mean, that's the most false statement I've ever heard. I mean, you can go out any day and see local kids playing on the beach out here as long as they have responsible parents. That's the key. And, you know, the numbers of people at the beach, I mean, it speaks for itself. The economy, I've hiked Osa Flaco many, many times, and I don't see the family recreation out there that you see at Oceano Dunes, the generations of people out there. So anyway, I just want to tell you, I support the sale, I think, for the economy, and I think the other thing, too, actually, I think Oceano could make a lot more money off the people if they catered to the off-road community. They don't provide gas stations that are accessible to the people with their trailers. The stores aren't tourist-friendly. I mean, the few that are doing really well, and I think Oceano could flourish if they did cater more to the OHV. Thank you.
Next person is Jean Naylor. Please, ladies and gentlemen, followed by Joel. It's S-U-T-Y, Sudi. Is Miss Naylor? Okay. Go ahead. Debbie. You can use
this one. So my name is Joel Sudi, and
Joel, next person will be Deanna Cox Miranda. If you raise your hand, I'll get you a mic right up front. Go ahead,
and
sir.
I'm the second of four generations who have been coming down here and appreciating your community. This is a silver anniversary year of 25 years that the Coastal Commission and people who are opposed to our former recreation have been attacking the continued access of vehicles on the beach. It's really a shame because they do come here in a responsible manner in the vast majority of cases. For those who think that we have so much beach that we're riding on, you realize that the Guadalupe-Napomo dunes are 18,000 acres. We're only talking of 1,500 acres. For those people that choose to hike in the dunes and have beaches themselves and have the wilderness and all the plant life, they can go there and get away from all of the people that are enjoying the park. There's no reason not to. There's plenty of room for all of us. And as far as those that are concerned about local control, if you sell it to the state, about $1 million spent yearly just protecting flora and fauna. So I guess the bottom line, I won't go into my other words, I support the sale. I think the sale is the right thing. I also support Oceano. I believe that the county should give a good portion of that sale price to the town of Oceano and pay for a plan that they would present, which I understand they already have done a lot of work on, to be able to create magnets for the ATVers, off-roaders to come in there, at the restaurants, gas stations. I understand trying to buy diesel, that there's only like one or two stations anywhere around this area that you can buy diesel. Maybe you got to put the diesel station in first. But you can do it. I agree that some of that money should go there, and I think we should sell it to the state. Thank you.
Please, Ms. Miranda, followed by Bob Cardoza.
Hello. Hi. My name is Deanna Cox Miranda, and I'm an eighth-generation Californian on my mother's side and a sixth-generation Californian on my father's side from the Tri-County areas. And I currently live in Pismo Beach. And the reason why that's important for me to share that with you is because my ancestors and all the generations of beachgoers in my family abhor cars on the beach. And my Nana and my Tata would be sickened if they looked down the beach from Pier Avenue out to the dunes and saw what does effectively look like Highway 101. And so for a lot of old timers that like the dunes, there were just as many old Californians who hated seeing cars on the beach. We consider it grotesque, abnormal, and simply an oxymoron when you see that the existing use explained by the county in their staff report is dune habitat preservation and vehicular recreation area. That's not a mix, that's an oxymoron. And one of the other things that I find to be so disgusting is that in the analysis of the alternative access, Mr. Gewirtz, Elihu Gewirtz, did a wonderful job actually talking himself and me into the problematic areas that it's so environmentally sensitive that one will just cause another problem for the other. It speaks for itself. And one of the other things that really, really affected me not too long ago, I was at the amputee surf clinic, the surf contest that was at the represent my people and that's why I'm here tonight. And I want to leave you with a very interesting little article that I read in the LA Times back in July of 2005, written by a Chris Reynolds. And he was writing about California's most crowded campground, the Oceano Dunes State Vehicular Recreation Area, what he called a dune buggy free-for-all. And although it's home to the large and beleaguered number of threatened and endangered animals, snowy plovers, least tern, steelhead trout, and that we, Oceano currently allows 1 million campers annually, 2.1, I guess, according to the latest records. But this is what he said. He wrote it in the first person singular. He got up. If I might wrap it up, it's a very quick one. In the early morning chill, I scramble from sleeping bag to clothes, fire up a new log, and stroll a bit toward the surf. In the stark sideways light, I see all the tire prints in sharp relief, a vast pattern for 3 miles, 100 yards wide, and snowy plovers hopping tread to tread. One day, in 10 or 20 years, the state or some judge will probably banish motorized vehicles from this beach, and the planet will be better off. Thank you.
Bob Kurt, let me remind you, I'm asking you not to do that, and if you really like the person that spoke and you're doing that, if that's the respect you're showing to the rest of the audience, what does that tell me? Mr. Cardoza, followed by Ann Steele.
My name is Bob Cardona. I'm with the Santa Maria Four Wheelers. I'm a property owner in San Luis Obispo as well as Santa Barbara counties. I've been in Santa Maria since my parents moved there in 1947, so I've used the beach area from Avila Beach all the way really down to Mexico surfing, but I grew up on this Oceano area because my uncles and my dad brought us out and we went fishing and we went clamming, and there are still clams there. Huell Hauser showed you that they're underneath the pier when he came out and did his Pismo trip, and I can show you the last time I camped out there, I had clam chowder. Sure, they're a little tougher to get to, but they're there. Growing up in this area offers a kind of a unique view for me. Bill Dineen, I understand that he's become great friends of some of the present councilmen and people that are, you know, of course, top people within the community, but I used to know him as well, and he used to be an avid four-wheeler and used to go down to Guadalupe Beach and travel and go up Devil's Slide and camp out there. And of course he always lived close to home, so he was the type mostly that would come out during the daytime, slept on the street in Oceano on Pier Avenue. My uncle had a van and said, if you're going to be here, I'll park the van right here. It was a two-lane road, mostly sand, and then I'd sleep in the van to watch, you know, to watch his fishing gear and everything that was in the van, so that then in the morning he'd come out and then we'd drive out onto the beach and then we'd fish and we'd clam all day long. In watching the progress here, I see, you know, certainly our access is better. The feelings are very tempered, and we get into a lot of disagreement. And I can understand that everybody's got their own opinion. We have those that have certainly the right to try to cherish all that is on this earth, whether it's the native plants, the native birds, animals, different species, and I can understand that. But I see a lot of selfishness here as well. I see those beautiful homes that are there on this strand, and I listen to people that say, oh, I've been here forever, and I say, well, when did you move here? Oh, I moved here in the 70s. Well, I'm curious. The vehicles went up and down the beach in the 70s. Why did you buy a home on the beach if you didn't want the vehicles going back and forth? You know, and then they come up here and tell you, oh, there was no vehicles on this beach 100 years ago. Well, I disagree with that because I happen to have a news article right here that is from 1907. Well, I've got it if anybody wants to see it, and it states that they will have another vehicle race on the beach between Pismo and Oceano, as they did
would you
in
please 1906. Summarize?
Pardon me?
Would you please summarize? Your time
okay,
is up.
So my only other point is that these people are not worried about the $200 million, because I sat at a meeting where the lawyer for the Sierra Club said, these people in Grover Beach and Oceano, they're dummies.
Thank you, sir.
We could rip everything down to build high-rise, beautiful hotels and resorts there.
Thank you, Mr. Cardona.
And that's where they're going to get their money.
Anna Steele, followed by Carl Kempton. Is Anna Steele, followed by Carl, is on to my left.
Good evening. I'm Annie Steele, and I've been here for a long time. And I'm really got a bit of a confusion about this whole thing. We have an inheritance here. By that, an inheritance, a natural inheritance. a wonderful piece of ground that we are allowed to see, participate in, and to enjoy. What I'm hearing is a lot of people are complaining about loss of income, a lot of people are complaining about this over here and that over there, but nobody is saying, let's do things that preserve our dunes, that preserve its beauty, all the animals, like the Pismo clam. We cannot go out and pick clams like we used to. Why? Because we did not take the time to preserve and to limit and to take the opportunities that were given to us to give our living environment a chance to live. And every one of us here is responsible for a living environment. And it's up to us to make the right decisions that protect and make it so that those children that are the fifth generation, the sixth generation, and the seventh have the opportunity to see, feel, and to participate in what we have today. Not one person has talked about that. We have a jewel. Nobody else has it. Not one area in this area of the world has what we have. And if we don't protect it, it's gonna be gone. And we can't buy it back at the store. We can't go into Walmart. We cannot go into Gottschalk's and buy another one. Clue, preserve what we've got or we're gonna lose it. Now, I have been down to this beach. I have smelled gas fumes. I have smelled the barbecue pits burning away down there. I have smelled it. I have watched all the cars. And I have seen all of you wonderful people come down and enjoy this wonderful thing that we have. But not anybody has talked about preservation. And that's where it's at. So if we sell it, we don't have the opportunity to protect it.
Thank you, ma'am.
So keep and preserve.
Thank you. Carl Kamter, followed by Bobby Brosnan.
Hi.
You don't want to? Okay. Well,
I oppose the sale because I think the county should have used the land as a lever in order for us to protect what we have. That's what Ann has said here. And I think that one of the things that I've heard here, and I'm really sorry to say this, but there's been a tremendous amount of greed. The Ronald Reagan mantra that began the destruction of our economy is greed is good. I think that too many of us are caught in the rut of results. What I'll be thinking about is transitioning, as someone had pointed out before, into a flexible way of using what we have as a magnet for another form of bringing tourism in that is not dependent upon use of petroleum. You say, well, so what? Well, look at Iraq, Afghanistan. You are supporting those wars running up and down the beach. So that's the long run. The short run is, it's been brought up time and time again, Grover Beach and Pismo Beach are getting a lot of money out of this. What did they do? They shut down the vehicles on their beaches. Did they not? You cannot drive in Pismo anymore. I've lived here long enough to know. I've been here 30 years or more. Grover Beach shut it down to the north. So all the traffic goes down here. Why is that? They're getting the benefits, Oceano's getting the pollution. Don't sell, use the land as a lever to maximize change for green tourism and get rid of black tourism in the form of pollution.
Thank you. Followed by Larry Bross, then Nancy Graves. Mr. Right in front of you. Larry is followed by Nancy Graves.
It was me.
You know, I'm the guy that I guess you can blame for all this. I appealed this sale. And I, you know, it's kind of interesting. A lot of people here, I've lived here, you know, over 40 years. I'm a newcomer over 40 years. Few people I've never met, like Mr. Souza. My gosh, let me shake your hand. I never saw you. You live right around here. It's kind of neat. Hi. It was great. Thank you so much. I'm happy I appealed it just because I heard some of these things today. Really. I'm really proud of all of you. I think, you know, Peter, I wish I had what you had. A place for your businesses, a place where I never wanted this gentleman here who I've met. I've never met. I'd like to meet you. I'm Larry.
Hi, Larry. Nice to meet you.
It's a pleasure. First time I've seen you around here, but you've been here forever, too. You know, what we want is what Peter has. Peter, you come down Grand Avenue, but you can't turn right. You can turn left. We'd like the ramp back, the way we used to have it. Straight out. Straight out. A beautiful ramp built for your vehicles.
Let's not make this a personal debate.
Of course,
please.
Of course I support what Bookout said. He's absolutely right. You've got to come down on Railroad and come in this way so that kids, just like Pismo, just like Grover, cannot get killed. I want my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, to be able to walk on Oceano Beach, thanks to Jerry Esposito, who changed the name from Pismo to Oceano. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Graves, followed by Bill Dineen.
Yes, I'm Nancy Graves. I'm at the organization Coastwalk. And I have a question directed to Supervisor Zilke. I understood that there would be no more state park land acquisitions as of last year, and I'm wondering where the funding is coming from for this acquisition.
Ma'am, why don't you use your 3 minutes, everything else you want to tell us, then we'll give Mr. Zilke...
That was my only question.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Mr. Zilke, would you care to respond, please?
I'm not sure where you got that information, but the acquisition funds have already been appropriated through the state legislature. It's phased because it's spread across two acquisition years. The first phase of acquisition was appropriated several years back when the actual appraised value of the property was much lower, and there was an impasse in terms of an agreement on the appraised value, so the county pulled out of that negotiation.
Thank you. Mr. Dineen, followed by Gordon Shore.
My name is Bill Dineen. I urge everyone here that wants to have a future for their kids and all to ride a bicycle, walk, and do not use gasoline. Okay, I write articles. I take pictures. And in 3 minutes, I can't cover things. One of them here says, "Are you addicted to oil?" It's an article that was in the Adobe Press. I would like to make some of these available for anybody that wants one. I do pictures, and this is our coastline. And take no more than one picture. Here is Point Sal. Point Sal is my church. I go there to get close to nature, and I urge everyone to get close to nature, listen to waves, and enjoy what we have naturally. So if you want a postcard, take no more than one if you want. If you don't want one, just pass it on. No problem at all. Articles, I have one here of going to the Pomo Dunes. If you want an article, take one. Here's one on Addicted Doyle, and I'll pass around the Santa Maria Times article. Not many here, but if you want one, take one and pass them along. If you don't want one, don't take one. That's all there is to it. Okay, I urge that the land not be sold. Do not sell that land. I recommend that 580 acres be traded for Oso Flacco Lake. The state owns Oso Flacco Lake. Okay, trade it. And we have a new county park. Don't sell it. Trade it for 500 acres at Oso Flacco Lake. A wonderful place for a county park. If there must be an access, and this so-called alternate access study means an alternate to the mouth of Arroyo Grande Creek. The alternate to me is the ConocoPhillips access. There are a few endangered plants there, yes, I agree. But that to me is a logical place. That's where you have gasoline makers,
Bill, would you
and
please
gasoline users, and that is all there is to it.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Gordon Shore, followed by...
...taxed by the problems with off-roaders on Pier Avenue and elsewhere, and the vehicle service down there to wrecks. If it is necessary for the state to sell, I urge you to put conditions on it that Oshiano receives some income to take care of the burdens here, and I also would like to see some southern access to so we can have a vehicle-free beach immediately in front of Oceano. Thank you.
Nancy, followed by Jean Pinnell.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Nancy Bull, and I live on Strand Way, and I watch all the RVers go up and down, and the emergency vehicles come through at night, and the lights are rather picturesque because they haul people out. But I've gone on the dunes for 30 or 40 years, and I don't think anyone would object if the park was being used the way it was 30 or 40 years ago. But that time is long past. We have 50,000 people down in that area, and they all come and go past the houses there, up and down Pier Avenue, with virtually no control. People are not paid attention to, and they do impact this area greatly. But speaking to really the point of this meeting, which we've gotten away from a great deal, the sale of this property, I think what you and others need to look at is the service to your constituency. And in terms of San Luis County, we are your constituency. Certainly the state parks are not going to be attentive to us, and certainly the Coastal Commission is not attentive to us. The only people we have to look to is those in San Luis County, our supervisor who is caring for his constituency, and that is us. And there certainly is a win-win situation opportunity here. You could sell them the property with appropriate conditions requiring a secondary access and not allow the left turns off Pier Avenue, which would solve a great many of the problems. It could be set up so it was appropriately staged. There would be room for people to come and go, unlike Pier Avenue, which is certainly not appropriate now. So I do oppose the sale without proper considerations for the constituency here and conditions for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim Pinnell, followed by Lee Bedell. Jim is behind you, I believe. Jim Pinnell? He had to leave. Okay. Lee Bedell, BEDELL. Is that Ms. Naylor? I'm sorry, when I called your name, we got...
About who owns that land right now? From what I understand, you said it's partly owned by the county, the state, and private ownership. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And then over here... Who owns all that water and the water table underneath it?
I believe that's owned by the state, and that's why the Coastal Commission, when they put the Sandy Highway through the orange piece, condition was on the west to be a buffer zone to that sensitive area.
Okay. And in terms of buffer zone, where is Black Lake, that big development? Oh, this is Black Lake? Right there, and this is Black Lake. And then the underground water table, is that in this area or does that extend? Does it extend here?
Right where you have the pointer is owned by Dunes Lake. I'm sorry, not by the state.
Okay. And then down here is the entrance to the Tosco ConocoPhillips gas or oil facility right here?
No, ma'am.
Well, this says ConocoPhillips with a big arrow pointing this way. So who owns this right here? Okay, state, and then the little blue things are what? Privately owned? Well, those are the questions I have. I mean, are we going to sell this land or give some kind of right to the state? Can I get an answer to some of these questions?
I'll just answer the property ownership question.
Yeah.
And then Katja will handle the other ones.
Well, actually, I've got 3 minutes left, right? How many minutes? 2 minutes?
7 seconds.
Okay. So I guess I'm concerned with title ownership and control over these major interests. There's water interests here. There's major development over here. There are oil leases out here. And then there's the ConocoPhillips oil processing facility. Do I have that right? Okay. Then I think...
Okay, so I'm just going to answer the questions about property ownership. The orange is the county land in question.
County owned.
The green blocks are state owned. These little blue blocks inside this larger green area are still owned by Union Oil. The purple is owned by ConocoPhillips. But when you think about ConocoPhillips, you have to think about it in two parts. From the highway to the railroad tracks is just think of it as all ConocoPhillips. And from the railroad tracks to the west, it's owned by ConocoPhillips, but it's leased to the state. And the state manages it as part of the state park.
And who
the state? Depends on whose property they want to do that. But let's move on. One of the questions, see if I can answer that correctly. Starting from here, the state does own 200 feet access all the way through the dunes area. Is that correct?
Actually, all of the property from just north of the Pismo Pier to Highway 1 is Pismo State Beach. Once you get past Pier Avenue in the Dune Preserve, there's a 200-foot strip above mean high tide line that's also state park property, and it is also part of the SVRA and extends completely through the county property to the south and into the main SVRA, the parcels that we own. So essentially, and then the other question you had is who
has convinced me that I've been superseded by the frogs and the various environment out there on the beach area. And Mr. Zelke, from the impressions I get, is that he doesn't even consider that Oceana is of any value to even raise these questions that we're raising here tonight. He's all well and determined that this transaction is going to be going through, and they're going to handle it quite well. But I do believe that also that California Parks and Recreation, San Luis Obispo County, and law enforcement, both state and county, simply have no idea of all the problems that have been created by this increase of ORV activity here in Oceana. It hasn't been a normal increase. It's been an exponential type increase. And I think these problems are going to continue, and they're going to worsen. I have never seen the kind of activity on Pier Avenue, and I've been here since 1972, that we see here today, and there's no correction, there's no law enforcement, and they're busy down there in their recreational area, the state parks, with what few people they have trying to maintain law and order down there. But if you need somebody here in town, forget it, you're not going to get them. You want to dial 911, you might get a fire engine down through Pier and down Strand, but on a Saturday, forget it. And especially the paramedics, no way. And as far as income is concerned, I can understand why Grover Beach has such interest in maintaining things the way they are, status quo, from the income they receive. Oceana receives nothing. Old Juan's over here, they might make something on their dinners on a weekend, but that's it. And so here we are. And I think the transaction that's being proposed here between the county and the state, I think we here in Oceana should become part of this equation. To limit it to the state and the county. If the county gets all this money, they're just going to...
It's all forms of recreation, whether it's equestrian, fishing, camping, hiking. We want to preserve this opportunity for those that enjoy it, have enjoyed it for over 100 years. I've also been appointed by the state of California to sit on the technical review team as a representative for the OHV community. I read thousands of pages of data, this access study, and many other documents to understand what is going on at the state park. Many of you, I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated when I come here, when I know that 1 month ago we celebrated 100 years of motorized recreation on this beach. Board of Supervisors, thank you. Signed a resolution. We had a resolution from the local Board of Supervisors, from the State Assembly, and from the U.S. Congress, recognizing 100 years of motorized recreation on this beach, long before any home was built on the Strand. What's next? If you don't like the Oceano Dunes, what if you don't like the train? Are you going to file that we want the train to stop? How about the airport? What's next? Yeah. I want to say to those in Oceano, we want to work with you. We are all for an alternative access. We would love to see a campground in the back area. Would you mind? I didn't interrupt
please,
you.
Please, gentlemen, ladies, and I'll give you credit for your time. Let me remind you that you are going to hear opinions that don't go along with yours. Just like everybody had to listen to you, please listen to others. That's the whole purpose of this meeting, to be able to listen and absorb your opinions. And I did say that regardless of all what we hear tonight, I will focus my interest to Oceano folks. That's the whole reason of moving on from this meeting to a task force consisted of Oceano folks. So please be respectful to others as they were to you. We'll start the timer, please.
Great. Thank you. I also represent people who live in Oceano as a part of my nonprofit organization. What I was discussing is we would like to see alternative access. One of the things we mentioned during the TRT meeting when it was presented is one of the things we can do to reduce some of the traffic in Oceano is what if we had access through the back dunes to go to a store? What if we had access through the back dunes to get to a gas station? We wouldn't have to keep going past town, past your homes. You know, if I lived on the Strand, if I had a home on the Strand, I can understand it. I really can. But you know what? If I was really that concerned with it, I probably would have researched it and not bought a home next to an SVRA. That's just unfair. Over 2 million people does better in developing endangered species than the National Wildlife Refuge just over the fence to the south. Thank you.
David, followed by Sherry Kennedy. David is raising his hand back there, and Sherry's up front.
Thank you. I am a third generation coming to the Oceano Dunes. It has drawn us, our family here for, like I said, three generations. Now I am raising my children who are also enjoying the Oceano Dunes. It would be a shame for this to somehow stop, because it would definitely stop this town as far as income that is generated. Now, I am also an owner of a house on Strand. When I bought it, I know what I was buying. So it's no surprise to me. It's what I love in this life. And what really gets me is, as you're driving in to this great city, there's a sign: Welcome to Oceano, Gateway to the Dunes. What kind of a message are we sending if people are going to try now to stop what has made this place what it is today? Thank you.
Thank you. Sherry Kennedy, followed by Effie McDormand.
My name is Sherry Kennedy, and I'm a resident up on the Arroyo Grande Mesa, just above the dunes, the lake dunes, or dunes at the lake. Lakes at the dune. Anyway, I want to say that I would recommend that the county not sell this and lose their leverage in trying to get some reform in how the dunes are used. I used to go camping in a tent, the old-fashioned way, not in a great big RV. And the last time was probably about 7 or 8 years ago, when I was so frightened by people coming at midnight, 1 in the morning, setting up right on top of me, partying, raising hell. Families that go clean their, take their trash and whatever, that's great. I respect that. I also have gone horseback riding down there. I'll never do that again. It's frightening to me. When my parents visited from Wisconsin, I said, let's show you the dunes. We went down there where there's 70,000 people over Labor Day weekend. It was mayhem. Cars coming, going, motorcycles, ATVs, little children scurrying to get out of the way. People, there was in my backyard anymore because it's dominated. The other thing is, I actually sleep out. I have 4 acres, and I sleep out at night in the summertime, all night long. I am awakened 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning, by ATVs going all night long. And it's got to stop. We got to live together, those of us who live here and those people who want to come and visit here need to respect one another. And I'm not saying take all the cars and the ATVs off of the dunes, but for God's sakes, let's restrict it. My dad said this is an obscenity to see this going on, and I think it's come to that. It's not a recreational place for everyone. It's just those who have ATVs, and I would like us to not sell to the state and have them run roughshod. I've talked to state people who were very respectful of me, and they said, I wouldn't live over near there. I know what you mean. They don't have the resources to keep people packing their trash and following the rules of the road and whatever. Thank you.
Thank you. Effie McDormand, followed by Marcia Lilly.
Thank you. My name is Effie McDormand, and I would like people who come to our area to know that some of us who are here objecting to what's going on don't feel that it's anything personal. You know, we like you and we hope you're having a good time, but there's just an awful lot of traffic going down Pier Avenue. And in 1975, the State Park General Development and Resource Management Plan called for a new primary access route while retaining secondary access from the Pier Avenue area and Oso Flaco. In 1983, the wooden ramp to the beach was destroyed. Prior to that time, all of the vehicles going down the beach accessed over a single lane wooden ramp. There were far fewer cars than there are today. After that ramp was destroyed, the state bulldozed the sand dunes there in that area and created a sand ramp. And they work on it all the time. And when I hear there might be a problem with a new access because someone might have to move some sand, I dare say that if you add up and spend it anywhere but in Oceano.
I agree.
It should be used to put the new primary access south of the creek in. And I like Mr. Sudi's idea of a campground backing up to the back of the dunes, because let's face it, these guys don't have to be taken to the beach. They've got vehicles that'll drive over the sand dunes to the beach. They can come to a campground on the back side of the dunes and be camped there and be at the beach in 5 minutes. That's what they do. It's what they love to do. So I would also like to take some of your figures and give them to you in a different form. If you have 2.3 million visitors, that is 6,301 a day if that's averaged over 365 days a year. And we know that sometimes you get 70,000 in a weekend. But think about 6,000 visitors coming in front of your house. And Mr. Sudi, I think you're sympathetic to the homeowners. I don't think the homeowners are being greedy. I think that if you had that kind of traffic, you'd be concerned. One other number, if you have 3,600 acres and 40% of it is being used, you have 1,597 people a year using each acre. There are a lot of people going down that beach.
Thank you.
And we need a new entry.
Thank you. Marsha Lilly, followed by Jasmine. Is it Swain? S-U-A-N-E.
Hi. I don't even know what I'm doing here. I'm just a renter in Oceano. I don't have any tradition here, and I don't have any generations. But I am highly interested in the idea of the environmental impact that's happening in this community. Because of the fact that I am a fourth-generation Californian, and that's from San Diego. If any of you have been there recently, you can't get in and out of it because there's too many people and not enough roads. I was born and raised in Mission Beach, which used to have mud flats, places you could go to spear stingrays or go in a rowboat and have a lot of fun as a kid. And I've heard you talk about generations of families wanting to preserve this. Generations of families will not be able to recreate themselves here if you do not take control of what you have here now. You will lose it. You won't have anything. And I agree with the people from Oceano. I am only a renter here. I happen to know the person that owns where I am. But our back alley can't be paved because there's no funds from the Cana Beach. It can be swimming in the. It can be building sandcastles. It can be hiking. It can be enjoying the dunes in other ways. So I just think that, anyway, that's why I'm here. So I hope that you can work this problem out and that it can be beneficial to everyone on this globe that you try to preserve what we do have and not give it up to a few people who want to be selfish enough to use it for things that are not going to improve your environment. Thank you.
Yasmina Swain, followed by Patty Duran.
Yeah, I'm Patty. Okay. What?
Is the other person not here?
Yeah.
I can share time, so you can only have 3 minutes each, please.
Okay. I didn't want to talk because I'm a newcomer here. I come from Chicago.
Doesn't matter. You're welcome.
The reason I'm here is because of the beauty of the place, and we would love to have this in Chicago, believe me. You know?
The reason I didn't want
to talk is because I want to send maybe an email with a more informed. I came here to be informed mostly, and my response so far for what I hear, I will prefer the land not to be sold. I will prefer that you preserve what you have.
Thank you. Patty, followed by Karen White.
Okay. You know, there's been a lot of good input from both sides here, and I wish we could come to a compromise. My biggest concern is really global warming, and what are we going to do? Are we going to contribute to the problem? You know, I mean, it's pretty scary for me when I hear there's 2.3 million people coming, and most of those people are driving these big trucks that haul ATVs, or else these huge trucks that carry 8 or 10 ATVs and go there. And then you see the ambulances that I hear every single time I'm down here, which is a lot because I surf the beach too. I see ambulance coming almost every day. So how much pollutants are we contributing to global warming? You know, for me, that's very concerning. And I wish we could, maybe we're a small place in the United States, but California is trying to lead, aren't we, in pollution control? So why don't we come up with some kind of stipulation? Why don't we say only ATVs that are battery powered could go on the beach or something like that? You know, why don't we come up with something that we could
land, because in 20 years we might get a better offer. I'm serious. Once you sell it, it's dune recreation, it's gone forever. I think you should hold on to it. If you want to give it another 25 years to the state to do recreation with. And as far as my genealogy goes, my grandfather came here in 1900. He made his living digging Pismo clams. He could get 500 a day. My first trip in a car was on the dunes. My first food was clams and barred perch. I was on the beach all the time, recreated, holidays. We had early dune buggies, and I mean early dune buggies, 20s, 30s. I was born in 37. The first airplane my dad ever saw landed on the beach. It's not like cars haven't been on that beach. But I helped start some of the first events, competition events out there for dune buggies with Evelyn Tallman. I go back a long ways. But about 40 years ago, 30 years ago, we gave up completely recreating on the beach. I probably haven't been on the beach for 6 or 7 months, and I used to be there every day. The reason is because of the vehicles. I live in the village of Halcyon. On a holiday weekend, you can hear, all you hear is an echo of the vehicles going up and down the beach. And the other thing is I watch the ambulances turn the corner at Halcyon and Highway 1, and we count the number on a weekend. I helped start the recreation thing, and now I hate what I did. If I had my way, and I know I'm not even asking for this, but if I had my way, there'd be no more cars on the beach, including the Rangers. The whales that rotted down there could rot down there, and everything would be completely closed. If you wanted to hike, you could hike through part of it. That's the way I feel about it now, because I think the clams might come back. I'm talking about the razor clams. I'm talking about the sand crabs. I'm talking about the barred perch. I'm talking about the Pismo clams. I'm talking about the little butter clams. And all the stuff in the time I was a little girl, I could go down there and get all that. I could walk on the beach. I don't even bother going. On a holiday weekend, I plan my shopping ahead of time so I don't have to go on Grand Avenue. I don't have to go in Grover Beach. I don't have to go in Oceano. And it's been the last 40 years with all these people coming.
About 50 years. thank you for having this meeting, and thank you for everyone that helped to make it possible. I'm representing about 30 people that I've had sign a paper, and I'll read that in a minute. This first is what I wrote, my personal opinion. There is a conflict between current entertainment practices and historic current transport. I believe pedestrian traffic to be the oldest and most efficient mode of transport throughout Pismo, Oceano, Dunes, and Beach. Pedestrian foot traffic is being disrupted by automobiles for entertainment. Pismo State Beach vehicle entertainment attracts disrespectful, wasteful, aggressive, disruptive attention to our beaches and the people that live here. drivers often mistakenly injure, kill, or endanger themselves and others at the OHVR. Vehicles degrade our unique and fragile ecosystems here. Auto traffic fragments pedestrian habitat. On several occasions, I brought my 3-year-old son to the beach and was unable to set him down because he hasn't learned or cared to learn how to dodge cars yet. Then suddenly an oncoming rough riding Bronco comes swerving towards us in an aggressive yet carefree manner. Where do you draw the line on a highway whose lines change with the weather anywhere between the tide water and the high tide line? There are many attributes to enjoy and abundance in unique biological diversity as well as activities and learning opportunities. There is a better interactive way to enjoy the dunes and beach without harming but increasing the ecological integrity. We could creatively design an economic system using the same resources in an intellectual way. Monterey has the Monterey Bay Aquarium. We have the Pismo Guadalupe Dunes Complex. We could have classes through Cal Poly, jobs restoring the dunes, sandboarding sports, annual Sand Olympics, main SLO County property. I object to further and current vehicular traffic on Pismo State Beach.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Angelo, followed by Rena Spooner.
Give me 1 second, folks. I'm going to walk up front so no one has to rubberneck. That's okay. Okay. Just real quick, I have one question for everyone else. Who's been here at Oceano Dunes prior to 1982? Just show of hands. Okay, I am envious of every single one of you. Okay, I was born in 1982. I'm 24 years old. Okay, in 1982, we had a 15,000 acre park. Okay, we're at 1,500, correct? Now, okay, so we've lost 90% of the park for environmental habitats. Dune preserves, snowy plovers, red-legged frogs, steelhead trout, which that's an argument that I'll get into later with that. The point is we're debating on whether or not selling a piece of property of the dunes, which my family actually owns a portion of one of the little places out there, has for years. I'm a fifth generation of Oceano. I've lived here my whole life, my father, so on. Okay, I've seen the traffic come down Pier Avenue. We own a business on Pier Avenue. We rent ATVs. Okay, so some of you may think I'm the enemy or whatever, but that, you know, and I disagree with a lot of the people that live on Strand and everything, and that's okay to have different opinions. I don't have a problem with that. But let me tell you a little bit from my aspect, okay? My father taught me how to drive down there, okay? We used to go down to the creek crossing to see how many people could make it through and how many couldn't. Okay, that it's an OHV park, off-highway vehicular recreation. Okay, what that means to me is, hey, crossing that creek is part of the four-wheel drive experience. Okay, and as far as oil is being washed off of the vehicles, it's minimal. And where'd the oil come from? The ground. Okay. Makes a lot of sense. Okay. The county does not have the resources to maintain the dunes. They don't have the resources to swimming into a riptide and have to be pulled out and they're just getting checked up. Or they broke their finger opening the door on their truck. You know, stupid stuff like that happens all the time and they call an ambulance just for precaution.
Thank you, Mr. Angel.
Thank you, guys. And
Rena Spooner.
My name is Rena, and Supervisor Ashajian, I thank you for being here and allowing this forum for us. I'm an Oceano resident. of about 6 months. I'm a teacher. I'm also a former ranger at the Guadalupe Dunes, and I would like to ask, I don't know the motive exactly of the county wanting to sell the property, but I do ask that you respectfully keep the control local for the dunes. I don't feel like if there's a issue with management that selling it to the state is going to help solve that. Bringing in extra revenue isn't always the answer. Just a few personal things from my experience working at the Guadalupe Dunes. I've had a lot of people discover those dunes from LA, and a lot of people are amazed that they can go to a pristine area, a beautiful natural area, and actually walk on the beach and see wildlife, see bobcats, see you know, snowy plovers, see foxes, and it's a beautiful place. And I have no problem with off-road vehicles, but I do ask that those of you who come out on your quads, even if you live here, go check out the Guadalupe Dunes. It's a different place. It's a different type of recreation. It's very beautiful. I used to live in Grover Beach, and I used to go down to the beach with my son in Grover Beach. And I tell you, every time a car passes that line, everybody on the Grover Beach side run after that car, and they say, "Go back. You know, this is not a place to be. This is a place for families. This is a place for children." And, you know, I know the issue is whether or not to sell to the state, but that's my two cents. As a voter, as a resident of Oceano, I respectfully ask.
I'm more frustrated than when I came here. But there were some words that I agree with, others that I will consider. If the situation is such that this is to be sold, I wouldn't agree that any of this money goes any place but to Oceano, with the exception of paying the cost of doing business. I also heard from the lady say, work out a compromise. Is there a compromise? I'll be looking into that personally. I wish I had the magic answer to have you, everybody go home pleased. Sorry to disappoint you that I don't have it. But I will work with you as hard as I can, and I work with you in your own backyard. You don't have to come to San Luis to attend meetings. But prior to the date, we have to make a decision. Meanwhile, I'm working with the Coastal Commission to clarify some of the findings of the past as what it is. Are we in conformity or are we not? And my goal is going to be that I do collect key stakeholders from the community first, 80%+. Maybe the other 20% will be from neighboring stakeholders. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you that AGP Video, thank you for being here. Thank you for whoever paid for your expenses. And I know you gave a discount. We appreciate that. You're going to air this on Wednesday, 6 p.m. on Channel 21. So if you want to go through this again, you're welcome to do so by watching Channel 21. If you would like to say a word, you're welcome. Okay. It's on his website. If you would like to purchase a tape or a CD, they'll make that available to you. Have a good evening. Drive carefully. I thank you for taking time from your busy schedules and coming here.